Did you envision the development of the agency that, exists today when you started out 6 years ago?
Yes. I think it's it continues to be a work in progress. I think that Secretary Chertoff and now Secretary Napolitano continue to build on a pretty sturdy foundation, but there remains quite a bit of work to be done. I'm reminded of a phone call I received from Sean O'Keefe, who headed NASA, shortly after it was announced that I was going to be the president's nominee as secretary, and NASA had been in operation for 20 or 30 years, and he said, "Tom, I still see vestiges of the old way of doing things and the old culture, but we're making progress." And I think the same thing applies here.
And some of the issues that DHS faces has evolved. I mean, I'm thinking of the southern border with Mexico right now. Early on, I think we thought that the Mexican border could be a way of infiltration by terrorists from any country. But now, in recent months, people in Mexico itself have become the source of a lot of activity that's harmful to the United States, namely the drug wars, the drug czars coming back and forth, and there's been a lot of death and destruction on both sides of the border. Do you think we're prepared to deal with that as opposed to what we thought might be the case of just, who knows, Al-Qaeda using Mexico as a way to get in?
Well, Tom, I think recent developments have just brought greater visibility to the basic concern with regard to our southern border to begin with. If you have the capability to run contraband drugs and illegals across the border, then you certainly have the capability to run terrorist or weapons across the border. And this most recent development, the only good thing about this, and I hope, and I want to say this very appropriate, I want to be very respectful to our friends in Mexico, is that for the first time in a long time, at least in my memory, the Mexican government has committed federal police and troops to certain areas in that region to help stem the violence. And I think the natural progression from that is to keep them, many of them, along the border to help us preserve the integrity of our borders. I mean, for the longest time, they kind of looked the other way. And we've got the Secure Border Initiative. There's more customs people down there, customs and border protection personnel. But we could use a little help from our friends on the Mexican side of the border to respect our immigration system and the integrity of our borders. And hopefully those police and those the Army officials will stay down there to help us deal with that as well.
Governor Ridge, do you think that border security in its present iteration is tough enough? And do you think that Secretary Napolitano, as she looks at the situation there, will continue the program of deporting illegal immigrants, especially those that have criminal background? And should she?
Oh, absolutely. There's no doubt in my mind that the first priority in terms of identifying illegals are those who have come into this country and have chosen a path of violence and illegal activity. We get them, we deport them. And by the way, if we get them and convict them of the crime, we ought to put them in prison for a while before we deport them. So I think the challenge of that 3,000-plus mile border remains, to Congress's credit, substantially greater manpower down there. I do think, and I know this is very controversial, but until we develop a system whereby people who live south of us, Mexico and Central America, come back and forth across the border lawfully to take some of these jobs, to be employed in America, we're going to continue to have this problem. But until that occurs, I think we see fences going up in certain areas where appropriate, technology being applied in certain areas. I mean, I don't think the Secure Border Initiative has taken off as quickly, and they've had quite the progress they wanted. But I think Secretary Napolitano understands the challenges associated with illegal immigration, and that's one of the reasons I certainly applauded her appointment. She's had to deal with it on a day-to-day basis as governor of Arizona. I'm quite sure she'll be, in that perspective, will make an even more effective secretary.
We're talking this morning to Governor Tom Ridge. He's the president of Ridge Global, and, of course, the first Homeland Security Secretary and former governor of Pennsylvania.
Yes, and Governor Ridge, you touched on a topic I wanted to ask you about, and that is the balance between manpower, border agents, and technology, because we've been working hard on different formats of fencing, some technology fencing with electronics, and some actual fencing with concrete and steel. And so what that causes is infiltration via tunnels. That's something I don't think we anticipated.
Right.
When that would mitigate in favor of having people there to watch where the, you know, the bad guys stick their heads up when they finally emerge. It might be in a building somewhere and not just out in the open. So do you think that we're on the right path, or what should be the right path, to kind of balance between where technology can work and where you need just good old-fashioned boots and eyes?
Well, I think you said it correctly when you even asked the question. There does need to be a balance. Look, we got a lot of good people out there working really hard in Customs and Border Protection, and we've increased their numbers substantially. But absent technology to assist them, there's just so much they can do. And frankly, technology exists to identify tunnels. Technology exists, sensors, photo surveillance. I mean, I, for one, recall way back those years when I was secretary, thought the use of UAVs along the border was something that could be particularly helpful if we were willing to change some of the tactics, i.e. if you got the unmanned aerial vehicle looking at the illegals cutting across the desert. You have to put our Customs and Border Protection people either in all-terrain vehicles or better off in helicopters and get them there to make the apprehension. So there's a combination of dedicated professionals, and boy, you sure have them along the southern border. I've spent a lot of time down there, and giving them the technology. And I'm going to say this again. I think there's a responsibility from our friends down in Mexico to assist us on the other side of the border. And as horrible as this drug wave is, and as horrible as all these killings and kidnappings and everything else is, maybe the federal government down there will finally keep some of these soldiers and police along our southern border to help us protect it.
Governor Ridge, I'm going to take it back to the agency itself for a moment and ask about some integration of services for Homeland Security. Secretary Napolitano has called for an agency-wide review of services, travel services, things that can be consolidated in the agency. Do you think the whole effort to consolidate Homeland Security has made enough progress, and is the key to this really cutting down on the number of committees that they have to report to?
That was just a wonderful question. I was hoping we'd get around to challenges that Secretary Napolitano and her entire team are going to have because of their response to the legitimate oversight responsibility of Congress. Congress has every reason to look at the internal operation of the Department of Homeland Security to make sure that the outcomes they sought were accomplished, the appropriated dollars are being well spent. But Secretary Napolitano is going to find out shortly, and all her undersecretaries and deputy secretaries and all those folks, they're going to spend a lot of time on the Hill. And I'm just hopeful that one of these days that the Congress of the United States will realign its committee structure so that the leadership of Homeland Security can spend a little less time on the Hill and more time around the country and even internationally building the kind of department that's necessary.
And moving on to another piece of DHS, and that's the Transportation Security Administration. They've come a long way, I think, since the early days of screening. Remember how chaotic it was, screening passengers, and now there's a whole lot of new technology, and there's new privacy concerns. Where do you think that's headed? What's your assessment now of the state of TSA, and particularly with respect to screening air passengers? And then you might want to comment on what's ahead maybe for rail passengers, because I think that's the next wave of investigation.
Well, I think TSA, the men and women that were there, the original plank holders, I mean, I think of all the work that Norman Netta did and Jim Lloyd did way back to get that operation going, when Congress basically said, all right, here's a new department. You've got to go out and find about 45 or 50,000 people. You've got X number of months to do it. And by the way, you got to deploy this technology. And, oh, by the way, here's a deadline. You got to get it done. So they did a remarkable job. And obviously, in that rush and in trying to meet that deadline, they've had to make some adjustments. They've reduced the number of personnel. The people are more highly trained. They've embedded with greater technology. You know, I've been pulled aside for secondary screening several times since I left the department. And I get a chance to talk to a lot of those wonderful people. I'm still fairly well recognized as I travel around the country. And I will tell you this, people flying commercially generally feel a lot better than they did pre-9/11. I mean, admittedly, from time to time you'll see some press reports that somebody did something, or some journalist or some watch group found a deficiency or problem, but they test themselves. They test themselves all the time. They have continuous training and continuous improvement. I think they've done a great job. And again, technology down the road will improve that situation even better. I would like to think that one of these days we'd have some kind of program where people could pre-register, and you could keep your shoes on and your computer in your case and keep your coat on. Maybe that's a wishful thinking, but at some point in time I'd like to be able to think that America could accept a certain, just a minimum level of risk. It's all about risk management, and that way the TSA screeners can concentrate on the people they know nothing about and the baggage that belong to those people. Railroads, slightly different situation. There you need different kinds of security. Think more surveillance. You're never going to develop a security protocol for railroads quite the same as airlines. But again, there I think more personnel and a little more technology would assist our railroads as well.
Well, I love the keep your shoes on idea. I think that should be a bumper sticker.
Well, I like it too. You know, again, it's all about risk management. And the question becomes, would you get on an airplane that where every passenger had been vetted and voluntarily relieved their information about themselves, and they'd had their iris scan or fingerprints to verify who they are or check it against the database? I mean, again, you can't guarantee 100%, but if you had a third party doing that, and you say to yourself, you still have to go through whatever technology we have, but you know, you keep the shoes on, keep your coats on. I don't know. We're still a ways away from it, but I'd like to think one of these days we'll get there.
But we have that in terms of immigration. I mean, if you can be a trusted traveler and go through immigration quickly. Believe me, when I was traveling internationally recently and I saw that short line going through that.
Nice, wasn't it?
Oh, I would love that. But I'm sure that, that requires a lot of background checks and that kind of information. So is that the kind of thing we would need to do in order to get people through the TSA screening process?
Yes. And again, it would be strictly a volunteer. We tried it with registered travelers some time ago, and it was enormously successful. And frankly, the frequent business traveler would pay for it. And the theory behind that kind of program is if you ask someone to voluntarily surrender certain information about them so you can make judgments about whether they are or are not a terrorist, you're not invading anybody's privacy because you've asked. They've traded the exchange of certain kinds of information for the ability to go through. That doesn't mean everybody on board would have volunteered for that program, but if you have that screening process taking care of X percentage of passengers, particularly the frequent business traveler, the people who are on the planes all the time, then you could have more time to focus on passengers about whom you know nothing.
Well, we thank you so much for your time, and we certainly love to talk to you. We'd love to have you back again, sir.
Well, Tom and Jane, if you invite me back, I'll look forward to continuing the conversation.
Excellent.
Great.
Thank you so much.
Good day.
All right,
good
you
Monday.
Too.
Fill out your brackets.